Yeah, the COVID-19 thing really pisses me off.
Really? Why? In what way? I mean, they can't...
Oh, I don't know. They just destroyed careers.
Sure. They did a lot of things. A lot of people do a lot of things. You can't get stuck on it.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. You just got to move past it. That's the best way to handle these things. Move past it.
We ask people to write to us today or email us or tweet at Glenn Beck. The things that the media has said were absolute conspiracy theories. The things that the social media banned people for saying that are now all coming out to be true.
Mm.
I mean, what does that tell you? I sincerely want a list of all of the things that they have said and done that now all turn out to be true. And it's not just COVID. It's almost everything. I mean, well, I'm not going to say it's treason. I'm not going to say it. But I'm not going to say it either.
You did say it several times on the show today.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's coming up. Keep listening. Glenn's going to call some people treasonous on today's program.
And more than one subject.
Yes.
Today. And it's a word I don't use. I don't like when people use it.
Mm.
But I use it a lot on today's podcast. Brought to you by Jace Medical. Recently, we shot down a Chinese spy balloon. The president told us could be weather equipment. We don't know. But we found out last week that, yes, we do know. It was the size of 3 school buses. I love school buses, said the vice president. And it was spying on us and floating over Strategic Air Command. Is that a problem, Strategic Air Command? I mean, just close-up pictures right there just above it. Not a big deal. Anyway, we're not becoming more friendly, listen to today's podcast, with China. So what does that mean? According to a University of Minnesota study, we rely on China and other overseas countries for 18 out of 21 critical antibiotics. 18. 72% of our active pharmaceutical ingredients come from China. What? We might want to start making medicines here. If there is a problem, we're going to have a problem with antibiotics. Don't let that happen to your family. Get the Jace case from Jace Medical. You can get it at Jace, J-A-S-E, medical.com. It's a pack of 5 different courses of antibiotics that you can use to treat a long list of illnesses, and it could save your life. It's a great way to be ready for shortages, and it's also perfect for traveling, you know, if you're just going on vacation. Listen, don't get caught unprepared. Go to jacemedical.com. Enter the promo code Beck at checkout for a discount on your order. It's the promo code Beck, J-A-S-E, medical.com. jacemedical.com.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
So, Stu, did you hear the COVID-19 pandemic likely originated from a Chinese lab leak? This, according to the U.S. Department of
Lies.
Energy.
Lies? Of Department energy. Of Lies?
Of Energy?
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
Yeah,
Department of Energy. Now, you know that what you just said is a conspiracy theory, and you are no longer broadcasting. We've already cut the feed. We cut the cord to the satellites.
Now, do I have to have the disclaimer on everything I post and say now that the U.S. Department of Energy has concluded that that's probably the most likely?
Well, they had some oil pump stuff they were working on, some solar panel stuff.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, yeah, and the origin of COVID is this.
Well, when I think of the best detectives, I think of the Department of Energy.
Yes.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So according to classified intelligence report recently supplied to the White House and key members of Congress, a leak from the Chinese laboratory is likely the origin of the COVID pandemic. Now, this is coming as a complete shock to most Americans. The Wall Street Journal reported the Energy Department now joins the Federal Bureau of Investigation, saying the virus likely spread via a mishap at the Chinese laboratory. Wow. So we got it from the FBI. Did you know about the FBI and what they were saying?
I've heard the FBI was believed that it may be.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the Wall Street Journal says the conclusion is a result of new intelligence. Now, remember that, because I think I know what the new intelligence is. New intelligence, and it is significant because the agent has considered has considerable scientific expertise and a network of U.S. national laboratories, some of which conduct advanced biological research. Now, when I think of energy, I don't necessarily think of biological research.
Right. Okay, I mean, this is not the point of the story. Like, this is not what we should be taking from it. But it is important to note that perhaps our agencies are have grown to a bit of a extraordinary size when the Department of Energy has an opinion on where the origin of COVID came from.
Like, well, why? It's because they have considerable scientific expertise.
I'm sure they do.
They oversee a network of U.S. national laboratories.
But why? Why would the Department of Energy oversee?
Okay. Because they're the ones that have all the labs that are doing all of the very, very high tech. The we talked about it just recently. The fission, mm-hmm. which is it, mm-hmm. Plant that came from the national labs. Okay, mm-hmm. That's overseen by the energy.
If you're good at nuclear fusion,
because you are then also good at biological
origins?
Nuclear is directly tied to not only the Department of Energy, but also to blowing things up.
Right.
So if you're blowing things up, you might as well have a few scientists in there who's like, before we blow things up, what do you say? Maybe we, I don't know, maybe we... kill them with a deadly virus.
Are we in France? Why is
they're the always cooking something up in France?
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
All right. So the Department of Energy now, you ready? Has made the determination, quote, with low confidence.
Okay.
What the hell? What?
That's not a determination.
That's not a determination. That's like, I don't know. Could be. You don't come out and say, the Department of Energy is joining the Federal Bureau of Investigation, saying that it is likely spread via a mishap. Okay, wait. And this conclusion is a result of new intelligence and is significant. By the way, very low confidence. Very low. Very, very low.
It's very strange.
It's
a strange story from beginning to end.
Is it?
Why do you announce a determination if you have low confidence
now,
in that determination?
Now, that is a good question.
I mean, I feel like if you have low confidence in a determination, you do not have a determination.
Right. Well, you have new evidence that's significant, but it's so significant, it leads you to low confidence.
It's our government.
Okay.
In a nutshell, right there.
All right. Okay. So why would they announce that this weekend?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's likely true. Right. I mean, we don't know for certain.
But if this was a but I don't have low confidence.
Right. I would say
very
moderate
high.
To high.
Yeah,
right?
Very high
confidence. But, I mean, if this was a murder story with all this the evidence that we have on this, we would all the jury would come back 12-0 and say guilty.
Yeah, guilty.
Right.
Yeah. And by the way, it kind of is a murder story.
it's more of a mass genocide.
Yeah, genocidal, you know, let's be kind, serial killer.
Right, okay,
you know?
Yes. Okay. In some ways, you're right. But, you know, again, when you come to the scientific end of it, I mean, I certainly have spent, you're going to be surprised to hear less time in the lab than you might think.
Well, I'm
determining the origins of deadly viruses.
I'm a doctor,
viruses.
Man. I'm a doctor. I can
you,
talk science.
You're different.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have low confidence, moderate confidence, high confidence?
Very high confidence.
Okay,
now,
good.
You still could talk me out of it.
Like, if they found, I don't know, the thing that they always find, which is the animal that has a trace of this in the normal population anywhere in the world, like, for example, that might go a long way.
That might be good, yeah. We found the monkeys. The monkeys, you know, vomit blood, bleed from their eyes, but they found them.
Right.
They found them.
Like
this one, no.
Now, they've only been trying to find it the entire time and have not found it, which is very, it's not impossible that this would be the case, but it is very unlikely by at this point they would not find the natural spillover. over candidate. However, if they were to find that, you might say, okay, well, let's look at that evidence and see if it's legitimate. But there's so much circumstantial evidence piled up on the side of the lab leak at this point. That you'd think this would be obvious to pretty much everybody that it should be a central consideration. And that is that was basically the reasoning we had in April 2020 for bringing this up, right? The fact that now the Department of Energy is getting to the point in, what are we, February 2023?
Yeah, 3 years late.
They're like, ah, you know, we kind of agree with that, with Glenn Beck circa 2020.
Right. Yeah, we're sorry for banning everybody, but we want you to know the ban still goes for everybody but us because we have very low confidence.
Right.
And new significant information, very low confidence.
And I would say that was probably our position in April 2020.
Yes.
It looks kind of like it came from here. I would say it's likely, but we have low confidence. We don't know
enough
detail.
And we have low confidence without any significant information.
And then you get the information
over if it's
multiple years, and you think to yourself, maybe we have high confidence.
Moderate confidence, you know? But it's very low, which means they could change it at any time. They could say, you know what, new information out. New information, and even more significant than the significant information that had us go from no confidence to low confidence.
Right. Okay? It's like, I know why I'm overweight, right?
Yeah.
And the reason I'm overweight is because I eat too much crap too often.
Correct.
I have high confidence in that. Is it possible I have a glandular issue? Me? I guess it's possible.
It is.
Right? It could be.
Very low possibility. Yeah, very unlikely.
But
yeah.
I'm highly confident that it's the amount of Taco Bell drive-thru stops that I make in a given week that makes me overweight.
But if a doctor came to you and said,
you've got a glandular issue, I might say, well, I need to look at the evidence of that.
Right.
I'm interested
in this. Thank God Taco Bell can survive. Okay. So now, why would this come out? Now, I'm not saying that this is it, but I'm not saying either.
I want every statement you make on this program now to be followed by a level of confidence.
Okay, okay. My level of confidence on this one is almost biblical.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe literally biblical.
Yeah, I mean, I take the scriptures, and then I come down a little bit, and that's where I'm at.
Okay, got it.
So low confidence.
Low confidence.
So there's a couple of things in the news. You know, completely unrelated. China is cozying up to Russia. And they've offered a peace deal, and they're also talking about sending drones and also ammunition to Russia. I learned that over the weekend. Oh, and did you see the fighter jet that was over the South China Sea that was shadowing our, I mean, like 20 feet away from ours, becoming very aggressive, not really done before? Yeah, yeah. Boy, it's a good thing that we're not mad at them for other things. You know what I mean? Sure, we're upset at them about that, but they have proven to be good, strong allies of ours and good, helpful friends. And of course, didn't have anything to do with the pandemic that killed millions of... Oh, wait a minute. I've just gotten some... Hang on. New significant information. Holy cow. With this new significant information, I can no longer say they've been good allies of ours. They may be an enemy of not just us, but the whole world, because they leaked accidentally, we think, but we could get another very specific and very, very important update at any minute. They may have had a lab leak that caused millions of people to die. So they're not very good. They're not good people. And we had to be dragged to that conclusion. Boy, we didn't want to say that about the Chinese, because we like the Chinese and they're so good. And gosh darn it, we didn't want to have to come to that conclusion. And now we're dealing with the airplane. I don't know if we can trust them. They might become an enemy of ours. Well, really, the enemy of mankind, because... Have you heard about the lab leak? Completely unrelated and complete. It's just a giant coincidence that after 3 years, within the 2-week period where China is giving us trouble, all of a sudden we come to the conclusion that they may have leaked the coronavirus. COVID could have come from them. And by the way, we have no confidence that America was involved in that whatsoever. In fact, all of the releases that we've released this weekend don't mention Anthony Fauci. Don't mention the labs here in America. The Bat Lady. What Bat Lady? We're not talking Batman, Robin, or the Bat Girl. What are you talking about, Bat Lady? We have nothing to do with that. It's China. Now, I just might be a little cynical. Yeah, people might say, Glenn, what? You have no faith? You have no trust? I mean, in the full faith and credit of the United States of America? No, I don't have any. Nope. Not since they banned everyone from saying this with all the evidence that we produced, 2 years ago. Not with all of the questioning, not with everybody being run out into the streets, burn them, they're a witch for even suggesting, even saying Wuhan. Don't call this the Chinese virus. How dare you? No, I'm just a little skeptical of the press who's not banning the Department of Energy, probably because they have low confidence. Even though we had all the documents and had high confidence, and anybody who would look at the documents would go, that's pretty, I can understand, but I think you should have higher than high confidence. No, we were enemies of the state. But now, Biden administration has been given some new information. China might be an enemy of ours. I'm just saying. And I'd hate to have to unleash an economic barrier against China. That'd be bad for us, but it'd be the right thing to do. Be bad for us, bad for them, but it'd be the right thing to do. Gosh, if we could just find our way to not doing that, I wonder what China could do. Hey, by the way, did you notice we're really upset about all the arms and stuff that they're talking about sending to Russia? Hey, I wonder if we could drop our investigation, if they would drop their support, you know, with ammunition and stuff. Maybe we could both back away and go, I see nothing. No, that's too sad.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
All righty. So let's just look at a few things here. Do you remember the banning of gas stoves?
The conspiracy theory?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a huge conspiracy theory about that on the right, if I'm not mistaken. Right. They thought, you know, somehow they came up with this wild idea that suddenly the government was going to try to ban gas stoves, this thing that had been cherished by every foodie on the left.
Yeah. I know.
This entire time.
This is CNN. This is how they reported on it. They were kind of jokesters with it.
Oh, good.
The Biden administration has come under fire this week due to an overcooked fear that it's planning a nationwide ban on gas stoves.
That's precious.
The claim sparked by comments from Consumer Product Safety Commission official published Monday that any option is on the table when it comes to regulating gas stoves amid growing health concerns over the appliances. There is no growing health concern. None. Okay. In the days after discussion online evoked images of government dragging its 4-burner cooktops from homes and social media users sharing memes of gas stoves with a text like, don't tread on me.
Those stupid
people. Well, the
people.
White House said it would not support a ban. And the commission and independent agency says no such ban is in the works. Okay. Well, apparently you have to go into the way, way, way back machine to remember a month ago when they said, this is a conspiracy. An analysis published earlier this month President Joe Biden's energy department acknowledged that roughly half of all gas stoves in the U.S. market today would not meet its proposed cooking appliance efficiency regulation. E&E News reports on Friday, as a result, these stoves would not be eligible to purchase, says the Energy Department. Energy Department spokesperson Jeremy Ortiz dismissed concerns over the proposal, saying half the gas stoves would remain if this standard is finalized as proposed.
So only half of them would go
away?
That's not, that, first of all, not even worth commenting on.
Right.
If only half of all gas stoves are going to go away,
right,
it's a total conspiracy theory to even bring it up.
Right, right.
And I assume that's exactly where it ends.
Well, the Energy Department's admission comes roughly a month after U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commissioner Richard Trumka told a Biden appointee, said to people, a gas stove ban was on the table. It's a hidden hazard. Any option is on the table. Products that can't be made safe have to be banned.
That was the genesis of the conspiracy theory when the guy said it?
Yeah, that was the genesis of
that. Seems like a pretty good conspiracy theory when the person's actually saying the thing that the conspiracy theory is stating.
Yeah, now, you were right. Only half.
Only half?
Only half.
You'd have the other half.
The Association of Home Appliance Manufacturers is arguing the proposed rule would prohibit a much larger proportion of gas stoves from being sold. It's not even really worth mentioning.
52%.
These people are crazy, you know? They've got some
types.
Other agenda, you know, big cigar-smoking types.
You know,
the vice president, who clearly smokes a cigar, Jill Notini, pointed out to a December Energy Department test of 21 gas stove models, all but one of those models failed to meet the proposed rules efficiency standards.
So about half.
No, she says that shows that it would nullify about 96% of the gas stove market.
So you still have the other
4%. 4%.
What a gift from our government and our betters to allow us to still have those
4%. Right.
You know?
Right.
And what a conspiracy theory it was to say they would be banned. There's still 4% of them left.
Yes.
96% go away. Sure, but 4% remain for a limited time. And that's
right.
So it was a conspiracy theory. They were right.
And we're not sure about that 4%, but, you know, probably. Now,
Wait, this
is just something that is just a growing concern. This is all organic. You know, you pull back the curtain and you'll see, you know, three guys standing there who founded Rewiring America. But that's just an environmental, you know, advocacy dark money group. You know, nothing to see there, really.
Started from the grassroots.
Well, not really. They're the ones behind the push to regulate and get rid of gas stoves. And they seem to have a significant financial stake in the green energy push. They started Rewiring America. They funded Rewiring America in 2020, and they all pursued wind, solar, electrification, and energy efficiency ventures. So they put millions of dollars into this, and if they can just get America off all fossil fuels, they'll be rich. So, and they're hauling in all kinds of money. It is.
And maybe
it's great.
Just moving the percentages. So let's say half would go a long way to make them very, very wealthy.
Yeah, but imagine
as well.
94%.
Yeah, that would be
better. That's their goal. Their goal is to get us entirely onto electricity. And
that's, of course, produced by elves. That electricity.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, you've seen the Keebler elves.
Yeah.
They stopped making cookies. Sorry, guys. Stop making cookies. They're now making energy.
Okay, good.
Now, there is another unfortunate story. You know, our electric grids, which are kind of shaky to begin with, they can't connect to all of this green energy. They won't have the capacity for doing that.
Oh no!
So yeah. Yeah.
When do we address that? I would assume after where we live in how many years of darkness. We turn off the fossil fuels.
Well, the local grid won't be at capacity when we turn off all the fossil fuels. So then it'll be okay. But we won't produce enough energy for us to actually live. you know, let alone power our cars.
If we adjust our life slightly, you know, maybe we don't
a little bit.
Leave the house and we're
a little bit
more clothing in the winter. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, wear a sweater.
All your layers.
Very, very American. You know what I mean?
Yeah, people love that sort of advice.
Yeah.
Is this, Glenn, to bring back an Obama era term, an example of stray voltage? Do you remember this concept? It was an idea that the Obama administration tested widely on us as experiments, where they would intentionally introduce a concept that was wildly out of the conversation, mm-hmm. right? Gas stoves should be banned, knowing, and in fact, depending on the controversy that would ensue when that was introduced, everyone's going to be like, wait, what the heck are you talking about? And what typically would happen, and this is essentially a way for them to convince their own side of something they would not normally do. But what would happen is, of course, people on the right, Obama's enemies, would say, wait, what are you talking about? That's crazy. This is what this, you know, administration wants to do. And we would all get up in arms. And just by nature, the left would take the opposite side of that.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you'd go from 0% support of getting gas stoves out of homes to 40% support, because all of a sudden everybody, it's, you know, people like Glenn Beck, who the left, they may not be as fond of you as so many of us are. They would look at you and say, well, if Glenn Beck is taking that other side, there must be something to this idea. And while they're sitting there denying it the whole time that they even came up with it, they wind up going from 0% support to 40% support. And then over time, it becomes this argument made now by people like AOC. It actually is a big health concern. It actually should go away. How come you don't know that? And over time, it builds and builds and builds until their policy that they wanted the whole time actually is in place.
Okay, so that used to be called the Overton window. But the Overton window did something slightly different. The Overton window is this political concept that you have a spectrum of ideas, and the window is kind of here in the sane area.
Yeah.
Haven't been there for a long time. And somebody will say, we've got to ban all gas stoves. That's nowhere in the spectrum of ideas that the window is now showing. It's so far over that the window can't even see it. But the argument pushes that window because people start arguing about gas stoves. And then eventually you get half of gas stoves banned, and they get that as their win. That's not what's happening here, because they're going to go for the total ban on gas. In this article, they are talking about gas dryers, gas heaters, all gas appliances gone. All of it. All of it. That is the goal. And so they don't want just half of it. They want all of it. What's happening now, and I don't even know what you call it. I call it the Lewinsky. And it's something that we've talked about on this program many times. It's what happened to Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. The world is arguing, the political world is arguing, he did it at the very beginning. And it's impeachable. No, he didn't do it. He did it, and it's impeachable. He didn't do it. He did it, and it's impeachable. He didn't do it. Then, after months of that, then the dress comes out, and everybody now knows he did it. And the argument is, he did it, and it's impeachable. Yeah, he did it, but it's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what's happening.
Giving me flashbacks.
Right. That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
Gas stoves are going to be banned. No, they're not. Yes, they are. No, they're not. The very next argument is gas stoves are being banned. Yeah, they are, but they should be.
Right. Yeah. 100%.
It's not an Overton window anymore.
To combine this all, stray voltage is a way to move the Overton window so you get the Lewinsky.
Is that what stray voltage is? I've never heard of that term.
I think you have heard of it. We've talked about it years ago. But it was something, I think, I want to say the first person I ever heard talk about it was Major Garrett, who was talking about the Obama administration years and years ago. And it was just this idea of introducing these things intentionally. Like, you'd think, The gas stove thing did not work short term for the Biden administration, right? It was a something that was rejected by a lot of people, over half. I mean, it was not a close call,
right?
But it introduced it into the ecosphere, and while they got that pushback initially for the controversy on it, and they had to come out and deny it and do their dances, over a long period of time, they got a win there because they will move the Overton window. And all of a sudden, the conversation is about, well, maybe we should be banning them. Let's look at the evidence. Let's bring that into the conversation. And eventually, it gets to the point where they say, yes, we do want them banned, and it's a good idea. And that's essentially that movement that we talked about in the woods. Just a bunch of terms we're combining here.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
it does work. I mean, and this is what they do all the time.
It's what they did with socialism. Remember Newsweek, was it Newsweek or U.S. News and World Report? I remember distinctly we did a story on it on my Fox News show, and it said, we're all socialists now. It was right after the election of Barack Obama. And I held that up and I said, they are admitting that they are socialists, that we're all socialists now. And the media went crazy and called me a racist and everything else. They don't deny socialism now. They don't deny it. It's what they were. This is something so critical that it's why I'm asking you to call this hour and just take a list. I don't need to talk to him necessarily on the air, but take a list of all of the things people are calling about. What are the things that they have said? The media and the government has said is not true. For instance, we found out that, now the Department of Energy agrees with the FBI that looks like it was a lab leak. All of the things that they have discredited and punished people. It's not that these things are just mistakes. Oh, they got it wrong. People get things wrong all the time. We get things wrong. This is things that they lied about and punished anyone for saying. And now, once they all start to become true and they admit it, we have to hold those people responsible because they have caused great damage and great pain. And not just to the people they canceled, but to the Republic itself. That has caused the division. What is the division? We can't even agree on vaccines. We can't even agree on what's safe. No, we can't. Why? Because you won't have a conversation about anything other than your way or the highway. That's divisive. So when you're canceling people because we're saying, hey, this is a problem, and you cancel people because they say that and then later come back and go, yeah, that was right, but what? Are you going to check yourself? Are you changing the way you do business, the way you look for truth? They're not, but we should.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
That subject that I banned for so long was abortion. And I regret that, as I now know and feel abortion is the greatest of all evils that America has perpetrated. And also, it is, I think, one of the only ways we could possibly save our republic. Turning back to God, asking for forgiveness for everything, humbling ourselves, repenting, and saving his children. I mean, how can he not bless a people who have humbled themselves and are now saving his children? Welcome, Abby. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. You look great.
Thank you.
Let's start with the news that is happening now. Biden is in this death cult. And we've gone from abortions in clinics. Now he is making abortion pills available. And that, I would imagine, is a much more traumatizing way to have an abortion than, you know, going into a Planned Parenthood and having the suction done.
Yeah. So Biden has greenlit medication abortion into every pharmacy across the country if they choose to carry these medication abortion pills. So he has essentially turned every woman's bathroom into an abortion clinic.
Stu and I were just actually at a women's pregnancy center just this last Friday with our wives. And we were with preborn, and just seeing this clinic and how, I mean, just how good it was and the good that they do. And they just love the women that come in, and they're with them for years after the birth. And it becomes kind of this family. They really, truly care. And they said that a young woman, had just come into the clinic recently, so horrifically traumatized. She came in a washcloth, was her baby that she had chemically aborted. And she was hysterical. And she's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with his body. You know, and she talked about how that's not what they said was going to happen. And they make it seem like it's going to be a really easy thing. You know, it's just like your monthly period. It's not.
Well, that's exactly what they're saying. So in my inbox right now, I have an email from NARAL, and the subject line literally says, safer than taking a Tylenol. So that is how they're selling medication abortion, that it's just like taking Tylenol, but it's not just like taking Tylenol. We know that, because you're literally killing a baby that's inside of your womb. And they're not telling these women, okay, and this is being taken up to 12 weeks in pregnancy. So by 12 weeks in pregnancy, everything on that unborn child in the womb is completely developed. So we're talking about arms, legs, fingers, toes. You can see the profile of your baby on its face. So these women have no idea that when they take these pills, when they're at home and they pass their baby into the toilet, they're going to see their fully formed child floating there in the toilet. And then they're going to have to make a decision, right? And they're going to be shocked, because they have no idea that they're going to see their fully formed child there in the toilet. And then exactly what you said, Glenn, they're going to have to make a decision. Like, do I scoop my baby up out of the toilet? Do I bury it? They're in a state of shock. Or do I flush my baby down the toilet? And we have no idea what the psychological ramifications of this are going to be for women.
It's a horror movie you're describing.
It is a horror movie. And then these women are going to be going back, right, to the scene of this trauma over and over and over again. They're going to be going back to that bathroom. They're going to be remembering what took place in that bathroom. What does this do to a woman? And nobody's talking about that.
To a girl.
Yes.
To a little girl.
Yes. And now these women can get these pills, these girls can get these pills sent to any address that they want. They can get it sent to their aunt, to their friend, to their best friend. They can get it sent anywhere. They can go into a pharmacy. They can pick it up. And their parents have no idea. Their loved ones have no idea. Their guardians have no idea. This is perfect. This is the perfect storm to cover up incest, sexual abuse, rape. Who's going to be held accountable for that? I mean, this is awful. And yet, pro-abortion supporters, groups like NARAL, these supposed women's advocates, right? They're out here saying, oh, this is a step, you know, this is a step in the right direction for women. This is women's progress. This is progress for women. This is not progress for women. Women flushing their babies down the toilet. Women hemorrhaging from abortion, women dying because they become septic because parts of their baby are left in their womb. That is not progress for women. That is regression. Yet they're saying this is good for women. This is not a good for women.
You know, I Stu and I met a woman who had gone through abortion, and they had made a video of her telling her story. She was there as she was watching it. We were watching it. And it's, you know, when you are actually trying to do the compassionate thing, you are thinking about the woman. And they always say, oh, you just are counting numbers as a baby, and you don't care about the baby, and you don't care about the woman. No, I deeply care about the woman.
Yes.
And I had never thought of it this way. She said, you know, when I went in, I was planning on having an abortion. And she said, I just kept praying, please, Lord, take this baby from me. Do, you know, act mm-hmm. of God, mm-hmm. You know, miscarriage, the child. And she said, and she went through one abortion, and she said she just knew that what she was doing was wrong, but she just didn't have any other choice, she felt at the time. I've never really thought of, and I wonder what the number of women, if they were honest, knew that it was wrong, felt that it was wrong, but just felt trapped and like, I don't have any other answer. I have to do this. Because if you do feel that it's wrong, it's not like the people who are like, oh, shout your abortion. I like to do it on Saturdays. It's a good fresher, a way to freshen up my weekend. What is the percentage, do you think, of women who are carrying that around with them, that they did something that they knew was wrong, but they felt trapped?
So Dr. David Reardon actually did a study on this, and he found that over 70% of women felt some sort of coercion or pressure to have an abortion. Well, if you feel coerced into having an abortion, that's not choice.
Correct.
Right? And we look at even here in Texas, there was a bill that was put forward that did pass, but it was a bill that was put forward, and it was very simple. We know that abortion and human trafficking go hand in hand, mm-hmm. right? We know that abortion, sex trafficking, they go hand in hand. So we had proposed a bill here in the state of Texas that required signage to go up in all public waiting rooms and bathrooms, just to let women know in layperson language that no one can force you to have an abortion. And it had the number for the National Trafficking Hotline on the sign, right? Planned Parenthood opposed that bill. That should tell you everything you need to know about the abortion industry. They like coercion. This is how they operate their facilities. They're not interested in women having an actual choice. When a woman walks into an abortion facility, her choice is removed. Because that abortion facility, those abortion workers, I'm saying this from experience, those abortion workers are taught to remove her choice.
When you say this from experience, you were in fact employee of the year or the month or something.
Employee of the year.
Yep. Employee of the year for Planned Parenthood. Let me just switch quickly to the movie that I just saw, which is extraordinarily powerful, called She Was Stronger. And you can find it at shewasstronger.com. It's 30 minutes, and it's about all these women that had abortions and then became abortions. Not all of them. I don't think all of them had abortions, but went to work for Planned Parenthood and performed abortions. And the turmoil that it caused in their life.
Right.
How common is that?
So we've helped 640 abortion clinic workers leave the abortion industry and come to a place of healing. And, almost every single one of them that has come through our ministry has suffered from clinical diagnosable post-traumatic stress disorder. We have had some of our clients that have actually had to be checked into inpatient psychiatric hospitals because of what they've experienced and what they've witnessed.
They were part of for a long time.
Yes. You know, many of them have to go on medication temporarily or permanently. Working in the abortion industry is not normal. It's not normal to leave a job and then have PTSD.
Correct.
From what you've done in your job. But this is pretty commonplace for an abortion clinic worker. And so, you know, these women are not painting themselves as victims. We all made a choice.
Oh, yeah.
To work in the abortion clinic.
Yeah, I was not surprised. That's the wrong word. I was heartened by the fact that all of them were looking for forgiveness from God.
Yes.
You know, they weren't playing victim. They weren't blaming it on anybody else. They were just like, I made the wrong choice.
Right.
And didn't know what I got into or to try to dismiss because I needed the money.
Right. And one of the women in the documentary actually went to prison for 28 months because of her work with Dr. Kermit Gosnell, who is now serving a life sentence and will die in prison. But she served 28 months in prison, and she says, you know, she absolutely deserved to be in prison for what she had done. And she said the greatest moment of peace in her life came when the officers came to pick her up to take her to prison. Because she said, I finally knew that I didn't have to be silent anymore. I could finally let it all out. Everything I needed to say, I could say it. And that's really what this film is all about.
Why did she stay in for so long? Why was she? I mean, because he was awful.
Yeah. He had performed abortions on her, actually. And he was like a family member to her. She had known him since she was 15 years old. Mm. She had actually lived with him at one point in time in her life. Mm-hmm. And she says that she felt like she owed him. And he acted like she owed him. And that's very powerful.
I think the term she used when she was describing the prison time was that I needed that.
Yeah.
She needed that time.
I think
to be able to digest what she had gone through.
You know, the atonement, the reason why the atonement is so hard, I think, for a lot of people to accept is because it's personal. It's not seen. You didn't go someplace. It just is personal between you and the Lord. And a lot of people can't forgive themselves. I think when you've committed a crime like that and you know it's a crime, I think prison serving your just jail time, mm-hmm. I think is a blessing because it allows you to say I've repented and I've paid my debt to society. Right. So Abby, Roe versus Wade being overturned, a great thing, but it is also seemed to open the gates of hell.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true. A friend of mine said that often the greatest defeats come after the greatest victories. And I think that that's true. I feel like I have a pretty good handle on the abortion industry and the evil that swims around in their mind after being there for so long. But I have to tell you, Glenn, I had no idea that they were going to start roaming around the country in RVs, performing abortions in RVs. That was something that had never crossed my mind that they would do, but they're doing it.
It also has exposed, you know, the clinic in, where is it? New Mexico, that is opened by the Satanic Temple.
Oh yeah.
You know, it has exposed them as bloodthirsty, just bloodthirsty, to where, you know, shout your abortions was one thing, but it has just become gruesome now. And it's really clearly good versus evil.
Okay, so when Biden and his incredibly partisan FDA made the decision that they did, Planned Parenthood went online, they, you know, went on their websites, they went on their social media, and they praised this decision, right? Mm-hmm. That abortion pills are now in pharmacies. That didn't make any sense, right? Because financially, this is terrible for Planned Parenthood. They've been charging $600 to $800 for medication abortion pills in their clinics all around the country. So now that women can get them from pharmacies for like $100, this is terrible for them. This is going to tank them financially.
Good.
Right? But they're out there praising it. They're out there saying, this is fantastic. We love this. This is great.
Why?
Right? Why? Because in the end, for the abortion industry, this has never been about money. The pro-life movement has always been like, oh, it's about money. It's about money. And I've said for a long time, guys, this is not just about money. This is about child sacrifice. It has always been about child sacrifice. And now they're saying all the quiet things out loud.
Abby Johnson, and then there were none. You can find her website, abortionworker.com, and shewasstronger.com. So important. Watch that documentary, shewasstronger.com.